Be the Good with Kate shows each of us how it is possible to find and follow our passions at any age. But not only that, we can do this while making the world a better place along the way. I'm Kate Cherichello, and I'm on a mission to shine a light on the positive news all around us. I hope Be the Good with Kate inspires you to live your purpose and go out and be the good in the world. Guests have included a Broadway music director, ex-convict, hospital clown, nonprofit leaders, people who've lost those closest to them, people who have found their calling in their 60s, and my kindergarten teacher. Join me each week as I have the honor of sharing these stories with you. You can find Be the Good with Kate on all podcast platforms and YouTube. Subscribe there or go to katecherichello.com/be the good to be updated when new episodes are released. Welcome back to Be the Good with Kate. Today we have Dr. Ed Eng on the show, and I can't wait until you hear more from him. He has such a fascinating story. A bit about Ed. He was the mayor of La Mirada in 2017, 2022, and just got reelected again very recently. He's a business professor and a seasoned executive with 25 plus years of diverse industry experience in government, media, consulting, and engineering. Previously, Dr. Eng was the regional president of the LA Times, which catapulted the Times to become the largest metropolitan daily newspaper in the country while he was there. He holds a doctorate in organizational leadership, an MBA, MS, and BS in electrical engineering, and he's also an MMA practitioner and enthusiast. His family immigrated from Hong Kong to LA's Chinatown in 1969, hoping to build a better life, and Dr. Ed Eng is here to talk all about all of this now. So thanks so much for being here, Ed.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited. And congratulations on all the good work that you're doing. And happy motherhood.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, time is flying, but he's definitely keeping us on our toes, that little man.
Yeah, hope you're getting some sleep.
Yes, very gratefully, yes, thank you. Now, Ed, please tell everybody a bit more just about who you are and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so, Evan, you gave that fabulous introduction. I thought you were talking about someone else, but yes, that is my background. I immigrated from Hong Kong with six siblings, and my parents spoke no English, came to a new country, and wanted to make a better life. My parents wanted that dream for us, because in Hong Kong, my understanding is, I was real young, there's no middle class, there's only the rich and the poor, and to make something of yourself, you got to move away. And my dad was a policeman, and he said, if you were to stay in Hong Kong, we'll follow one of two paths. One is to be a policeman, number two is to be a taxi driver. And he didn't want any of that for us, so we immigrated to Hong Kong. We landed in Chinatown, and which is a mini version of Hong Kong, but it was more a sad version of Hong Kong because we came right in the middle of the gang war. And with the language barrier and the cultural barrier, it was just a very difficult time for me and my family. And somehow, through hard work and looking at my parents, how hard they worked, and I just kind of made a promise to myself to never give up any opportunities. So any opportunity that came my way, I just took it. And mixing that to another, I got into UCLA and the rest of TV history. I met a lot of friends. I didn't have a social network, but I struggled trying to get a job. But when I finally got a job, I really took advantage of it. And it was through odd jobs that I really learned about the American system of promotion, of reward, incentives, rewards. And took a chance and became the president of the LA Times, and that didn't last very long. After 4 years, after a very, very hostile takeover, I was without a job and became a professor, and I became a consultant to the government, and didn't like that I didn't have a voice in my community that I grew up in, and decided to run for city council. And without any experience, I came in first, and the rest is history. And just got reelected, and right now I am still a business professor. I am retiring from my consulting gig end of this year, and I am a city council member. And every day I hit the gym to practice my kicks and punches.
So you're not busy at all?
No, not really. But I have to say one thing, Kate. Everything I do now is something are things that I choose, and it's something. These are things that I really, really enjoy. It comes from a place of passion. I love martial arts. I can do it all day long, although my body tells me otherwise. And I love serving the people of La Mirada. I love the community that we live in. And, I love teaching. It's a way for me to share knowledge and a way to really give back to the community as well. So I love those three things that I'm doing.
Now, did you have any interest in the political realm before you, like when you were in college or when you were working in different industries along the way, or was this something new?
I had zero interest. Politics is the last thing I want to get close to. I hated politics. I have no interest in politics. I lived in my city for about, it was probably 15 years before I knew where City Hall was. And I have no interest in politics. It was just a freak accident. It was a rainy day. My car broke down. I drove into the first driveway that was available to me. Called AAA to come tow my car, and it was a rainy day. They told me it was going to be a while before they come pick me up. And I said, I can wait. I looked in the corner of my eyes. There were people walking into this big room. And it turned out to be City Hall, my first time ever in City Hall. And I walk in there, and it says free coffee and donuts. And I love coffee and donuts. So I walk in to get, especially when it's free. So I went and got myself a cup of coffee, about two donuts, and ate it. Turned out it was an event to try to find new commissioners, people who want to serve the city, and they wanted some new people. And I just happened to be there and eating the donuts. They just called me before I sat down. And I went up there and said, since I ate your donuts and drank the coffee, I will say something about why I wanted to be a commissioner. And I was very honest with them. I had no desire to be a commissioner, but here's what's great about La Mirada. Here's what's bad about La Mirada. And here's how I will change it. And that's what I said. And after everybody went, I gave their speeches. They approached me and said, I want to appoint you. So that's how it started.
Two big things that are in my head right now. One is that I feel like I'm listening to, but the watching in my brain, like a Netflix movie. Your car breaks down, the AAA is not coming, so you just walk into the nearest place, and before you know it, you're running for council.
Yeah, so I was pretty happy just being a commissioner, but I got really bored. So some of my colleagues say, hey, who are you going to vote for this upcoming election? I have no idea the election coming up. And my response was, I don't even know who's running. And jokingly, I said, maybe I'll run for city council. And my colleagues got really serious and looked at me and said, you do not run for city council. You have to get approval here in La Mirada. And I said, what do you mean by approval? He said, there's a system here. It's not a fiscal system, but you have to get endorsements. You have to get approval. But by the way, there's only 4 or 5 months before the election. It's too late to get in there. And when I got home, I couldn't really sleep because something was just keeping me up. I just couldn't sleep. Something was really tugging at my heart. So I said, you know what? My parents sacrificed their whole lives to make a good living for us, to give us the opportunities that they never had. And now I feel like I have a voice in society. I feel like I represent my family, that voice. And I said, why do I have to get in line to run for council? This is the greatest country on earth. This is democracy at its best. No, I'm going to run for city council. No one's going to tell me when I can run and who I need approval from. So I ran. And it was one of the most difficult things I ever had to do. But you know what? It worked out for me, and I came in first. I beat all the incumbents, and I beat everybody. And that's when I realized that if it's your passion and you have a motivation for doing something, keep doing it. Don't stop. You might not get the end result, but it's going to open doors to something else.
Very good. And now in 2024, what is the most surprising thing about where you are, where your life is right now?
Yeah, so there's a good and a bad. The good thing is I'm very happy with my life. I wake up in the morning, I train for an hour, and almost every morning. I attend meetings, city council meetings, trying to make policies for the city that's going to give us a quality of life that we deserve. And I teach two classes. I teach graduate courses, and I teach a business class. And I really enjoy looking at the bright lines of the future and kind of in Parson Valley. Those are all the good things, but life just happens sometimes, and I thought I'd have the greatest life on earth, and I don't, sometimes I feel like I wake up, I don't really deserve it. But my wife was diagnosed with cancer recently, about 6 months ago, and that kind of turned my life upside down. And I've really learned to do this whole ordeal. I just learned how to appreciate the present and not kind of control the future. The things that I have absolutely no control over in the past that I can't change, and just trying to live in the moment and enjoy life as it comes to me.
Wow, I'm so sorry about that. And your mindset is beautiful. And what that leads me to ask you, what would you tell someone who feels like maybe they're in a place of they're not sure what's next, or there's a lot of negative going on in their life, but they still want to make the world a better place? Is there any advice you'd give them?
Yeah, I would say that there's really no clarity about the future. You just have to learn to live your best self in the moment. And clarity will come about when you go back. I don't know how long it's going to take, maybe a month, 2 months, 2 years, 5 years. But there's only clarity, we call it clarity in real view. It's only after a certain amount of time when you go back. That's why things happen the way it did. But if you're trying to figure out everything right now, all the bad things that are happening to you, all the barriers you have to overcome, and you look at the next door neighbor, he's driving a Ferrari, and you're thinking, why can't that be me? No, just stop that thinking. Just stop it. It's your attitude to be live your best self right now. You're impacting your circle of influence the way you should, and things will work out in the future, but only happens when you go backwards in the future. So just don't stress out about the present. Things happen the way they should be.
And what about the idea of spreading the positive news stories and why people need to hear about your story of your growth and your success and why we need to share these kind of optimistic moments? What do you think the importance is for people?
I think the most important is a couple of things. Number one is you got to have motivation. When there's motivation behind everything you do, it just comes easier. Once you have motivation, then you have the ambition and the drive to make it happen. The second thing is you have to know your talent. People always say, I'm passionate about XYZ. These are the things I'm passionate about. Yeah, it's great to have passion, but you got to understand, do some real self-reflection on your talent. Because if you follow your talent, things come easy. When I try to follow my passion sometimes, I wanted to be an NBA basketball player, but I just feel like I'm too short and I'm just not really. I still love basketball. I still love martial arts, but I'm not at the level where I can compete professionally. So if I try to get there, it's going to be a long, long struggle. But if you follow your talents, which for me is really just public speaking and teaching. And if I just follow my talents of teaching and sharing knowledge, things become real easy. And I've become very successful at things with little effort. So I think you have the right attitude. Right attitude, right motivation, understanding your talents, and having passion really to overcome the barriers and really developing your grit, I think you'd be very successful. And I learned grit from watching my parents grow up. My dad was a cop when he was in Hong Kong. He came over with a language barrier. He became a custodian, a dishwasher, and he wasn't ashamed of it. That's how he survived. My mom became a self-taught seamstress and making 25 cents an hour back then and taking work home to put food on the table. I just learned grit from them. I watched them grow up, never complain, never ask for help, which I disagree with, but they never ask for help. Just believe that you reach out to your network for help if you need it. But they never ask for help. They didn't have a social network. They just grind and do this. And toward the end, I saw how it paid off for them. So I think those four components is secret ingredients to life, in my view, in my humble point of view.
It was amazing to me just to think about when people first come to the country and just all of that you said, the language and figuring out work. And when you said you had six siblings, right?
Yes.
So on top of themselves, they also had seven other people to take care of. I mean, just unbelievable.
Yeah, so I have six siblings, and you know, I'm not the only one that gone through that went through the gang war, got the beatings that I didn't deserve, got picked on, just was really the forgotten voice in society. That's how it felt. And I eyewitnessed my older siblings getting beat up with just my bigger gangsters, and you probably heard a lot more. So I don't know how they dealt with it, but we hardly talked about it until I wrote my book. And we all talked about it. Yeah, they suffer just as much, if not more, than I did. It's just writing the book was almost therapy for me. Not only to inspire other people who are going through tough times that things could get better, and look at my life. You know, we went through some of the worst moments in my point of view, and we came out of it. And so it's more than just inspiration. It was more therapy for me. And I got into martial arts because I was never a good fighter. And I always wanted to be able to defend myself. As soon as my first paycheck came, I sent half of it to my grandmother, who protected me when I was growing up. I was always a sickly boy. And the other half was really to help to learn self-defense, and just kind of fell in love with martial arts.
Wow. Wow. And now your book, The Accidental Mayor, I love the title of it too.
Thank you.
And just incredible how many steps along the way ended up leading you to this in various ways. Tell us more about where people can find the book and also where they can hear more from you and your story.
Yeah. So my book is on www.theaccidentalmayor.com. And that leads to all kinds of sites where my book is available, but you can just type in The Accidental Mayor on Amazon, and this should pop up. There's only one in my book. And, I was very fortunate. I have a pretty good following. I am not a celebrity, but I'm pretty well known in my city. So I had probably more than a dozen book signings, been on probably 20 or 30, speaking engagements and podcasts and all of that. And, like I said earlier, my wife was diagnosed with cancer, and I have to put everything on pause for about the last 6 months. I'm just excited to jump back in to reignite my passion of storytelling, my own personal story, and just started on my second book.
Wow. Wow. Beautiful. And thank you for being willing to share a story too, because again, I'm so glad that all sorts of topics that weren't as discussed back in the day, whatever that is, are being discussed now, and hearing these stories of growing up as having come to this country and hearing this story about your parents and then career changing along the way. And you went from this career to this career, and then you ended up with one that you love so much, but everything, how they all just feed each other along the way, is wonderful. So thank you for sharing that as well, because I know that we all need that inspiration.
Thanks, Kay. Yeah, for me, the whole teaching of that, the lesson of my career is, don't think that you're stuck in a job. Every opportunity, every job will come back in some way to help you when you least expect it. I have the worst jobs ever, part-time job, odd ends, jobs that I hated, but they all came back to help me in the least expected moment.
And that is a trend that keeps coming up on this show. It really is. People who started out in careers that were completely opposite from where they are now, and how every piece of it mattered in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, definitely. I've been in unemployment lines, thinking that was a waste of time. I've been in a newspaper, and I mean, when I was fired from that job for kicking off, I told the owner, you watch, one day I will be the president of one of the largest paper in the country. Right? That kind of happened. But everything just came full circle. And that's why I tell people, don't really stress out too much about your current situation. Just develop your grit. Find out what your internal motivation is in life. And really, don't stress. Don't try to control the future. Just be the best version of yourself. And things will work out. You probably won't see it now, can't see it now, but it will become clear and shortly.
Ed, I cannot thank you enough for being here, for sharing all this wisdom and motivation here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kate. And I hope we stay friends.
Thank you, and good luck with the upcoming year for La Mirada.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
In taking classes over the years or observing workout videos, one major piece that is often missing: stressing safety and form. Additionally, group fitness classes are often marketed as being open to all levels, yet how often do instructors not give modifications nor progressions so that each participant truly can get what he or she needs out of the class? So that's why I created the 101 series, which take things back to basics with three separate courses: Bar 101, Pilates 101, and HIIT 101, focusing on safety and efficiency so you can maximize your workouts. Be confident when you step into a group fitness class or workout on your own. Be strong in your execution of the most common exercises, and be proud of yourself for taking these huge steps forward on your health journey. Check it out at bebykate.com. The link is in the show notes.
Thanks so much for listening to Be the Good with Kate Cherichello. Whether you're listening on YouTube or via podcast, it would mean the world if you liked, subscribed, and or left a review. You heard about the good? Now go out and be the good in your life this week. If you have stories of good news that need to be shared, please send me a message. Thanks again, and have a great week.